Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
And away we go. What is up, Upstate South Carolina? Happy Friday, Friday. Gotta get down on Friday. Everybody's working for the weekend. Good to be with you once again. I am Rob Brown, back in the network studio. Hit him with it, Diesel.
Stick to sports.
Maybe. We'll contemplate about it. We'll think about it. Busy day on the show today and looking forward to it. Obviously, we've got a full weekend of football that we need to jump into. We're going to start jumping into the football weekend in this segment, as a matter of fact. We got to get right into it. We got our lunch breakdown coming up here in just a minute. Then we'll start looking at the games themselves because we are going to be busy. Coming up in the next hour of the show, we are going to be joined by Mr. Kevin Thomas of Moving the Chains, which covers in depth all of the high school football here in the area because, y'all, we got high school ball taking place around the great state of South Carolina tonight. So tonight on the show, we will be joined, or excuse me, this afternoon, coming up in the next hour of the show, we'll be joined by Mr. Kevin Thomas from right here at Moving the Chains. He'll be talking a little high school football with us. Looking forward to that. And then coming up at 2:20 this afternoon, we are going to have Colin Bester of NASCAR joining us to talk a little NASCAR. He usually catches up with us on Thursdays in the afternoon, but Wednesdays, but this week unfortunately did not work out for him. And so Colin's going to join us this afternoon after a weekend at Bristol just a few days ago. Now we get ready to head over to Las Vegas to talk a little Vegas racing as we see if Kyle Busch can put that dub down. He was so close this past weekend, but just wasn't able to get it. Will he be able to turn in a W this upcoming weekend? We'll talk a little bit about that at 2:20 with Colin Bester. So there's the interviews we got locked in for you today. But other than that, Friday is the day we start talking about football. With that being said, Diesel, we got to do that thing we do to start off each and every show.
The lunch breakdown.
That's the one. A little less vivacious than yesterday, but you know, it's Friday. We don't want to turn all the juice. I don't want to waste all the juice in the first segment. I get it. The lunch breakdown. The three things you have to know before we go talk about sports around your lunch break with your friends, family, relatives, the wall, the dog, whoever you spend your lunch break with. And we do that right now. We start in the world of college football. And yes, that means we start by announcing that it is official. The Pac-12 is back, Jack. The Pac-12 football season is officially revived with a 7-game schedule that will start all the way in November. November 6th will be the beginning of this year's college football season in the Pac-12. Pac-12 football adopted a conference-only fall football season back on July 31st. Then they postponed it altogether less than 2 weeks later. The Pac-12 CEO group voted, however, unanimously yesterday for a 7-game season that will start on November 6th and run through December 18th. All Pac-12 teams that do not advance to the conference title game will play a cross-division opponent of the same seed on championship weekend. In a media webinar, that was put out yesterday. Arizona State Athletic Director Ray Anderson said the extra game was added because, quote, we want to be in the best position, very frankly, to get ourselves into the CFP, the college football playoff conversation, but also bowl consideration at the very highest levels, and we want to play. And so play they will. A Pac-12 release stated that the revised 2020 fall football schedule will be finalized in the coming days, including games against all five divisional opponents, plus two cross-divisional games that will also count in the conference standings. Aside from football, the Pac-12 is also ready to resume its basketball and winter sports seasons. Pac-12 men's and women's basketball will begin November 25th, consistent with the NCAA's allotted start date, and other winter sports may commence alongside their determined NCAA start dates as well. As of today, fans will not be allowed at any sporting events taking place on Pac-12 campuses this fall. However, the release states that the decision will be revisited upon health and safety considerations in January. So that is where we left off with the Pac-12 football. We may get Maction back, as the Maction has gone ahead and started looking into the potential. They will be voting today to resume football in the fall. Multiple media outlets are reporting Mid-American Conference university presidents are set to vote Friday on whether to have a fall football season for the 2020-2021 academic year. Yahoo's Pete Thamel was the first to report on Wednesday and indicated that the MAC is expecting to play a six-game schedule. ESPN's Adam Rittenberg confirmed the report later in the day and said the shortened season, if approved, is likely to begin the weekend of October 24th, the same weekend that Big Ten is planning on kicking off its 2020 college football campaign. So Maction may be joining the table as well. The Mountain West, well, they are still up in the air as of right now. Fall football is back for San Diego State playing a conference-only schedule game along with the rest of the Mountain West, reaching the December 19th Mountain West title game. The fall season restored yesterday when the conference's board of directors voted to approve an eight-game conference-only schedule that will kick off on October 24th. The winners of the conference's Mountain and Western divisions will meet December 19th for the Mountain West Championship. The Mountain West announced the news on social media, indicating more details will be forthcoming today. Conference and San Diego State officials will be holding news conferences today as well. So the Mountain West is back. We know that for a fact. The Pac-12 is back. We know that for a fact. And Maction is back up in the air for right now. But it looks like all of these games, if they are going to be played, will likely be played well into November. We'll see how all this works out. Continue talking about it as we move forward. 844-477-3776. But we do have two more items on the lunch breakdown, don't we? Yes, we do. Glad you asked about them. Item number two, college kids. Those of you that are heading on over to Clemson games, those of you that are heading on over to South Carolina this weekend to watch them play Tennessee, I need you to listen to me, and I need you to listen to me very, very carefully and very, very closely. The Colorado Buffaloes football team, along with all other athletics programs at the university, has been shut down entirely for a minimum of 2 weeks due to a County of Boulder order that prohibits large gatherings of university students aged 18 to 22 that begins at 4 p.m. yesterday afternoon. The official statement from the county reads, quote, "The order is issued based on evidence of increasing occurrence and transmission of COVID-19 within Boulder County, specifically among Colorado of CU Boulder students aged 18 to 22 years old, collegiate group home occupants and visitors, and occupants and visitors of residence halls with documented histories of public health order violations in the Hill neighborhood of Boulder, and in particular, violations involving large gatherings without face coverings or social distancing. The dangers of COVID-19 are exacerbated because some individuals who contract the virus, especially those in the 18 to 22-year-old range, may be pre-symptomatic, asymptomatic, or have mild symptoms and may not be aware they carry the coronavirus. This order is based on scientific evidence and best practices regarding the most effective approaches to slow the transmission of communicable diseases generally and COVID-19 specifically, and evidence that the age, condition, and health of a significant portion of the population within Boulder County are at risk for serious health complications, including death from COVID-19. Long story short, COVID-19 is spreading in a big way around the University of Colorado Boulder, and because of that, they are shutting down football. They are shutting down football and all other athletic competitions on the campus in Colorado for at least 2 weeks, which means that if and when they are able to return to the field 2 weeks from now, they will also be out of shape for not having worked out for 2 weeks. When I tell you guys, as Diesel and I have been telling you for the better part of weeks now, when we get to go back to football games, when it's time, and if you are one of the people who is going to be going into the games, then please, please wear your mask, stay distance, don't attend big rager parties, stay outside, maintain your difference, your distances between people, etc., etc. Because as soon as there's a spread, this is going to happen. And here we are, shot called, shot confirmed. Colorado is shut down now because they can't stop the spread of coronavirus on their campus, and so now they don't get to go to football games for a few weeks. Take it seriously. Wear your mask. Do your job. All right? Item number three on the lunch breakdown. We head back to baseball now. And this is a big one. Braves ace Max Fried walked off the mound earlier this week after running down a bunt against the Miami Marlins. He tweaked his ankle and left his start after only one inning, and there were concerns about what that meant for Max Fried. Max Fried has been, pardon me, one of the only consistent performers off the hill for Atlanta this year. Well, according to Brian Snicker, he is now expected to be back for game number one of next week's wild card round postseason series. According to the Atlanta Braves, Fried left his Wednesday start against the Marlins after one inning, sustained the injury while running down a bunt, hurt his foot while planting it to throw to first base for the second out. Fried stayed in, allowed three consecutive hits, including back-to-back homers, were his first two allowed this season before finishing the frame. Brian Snicker did say yesterday afternoon that all tests are negative. They'll just treat him up the next few days. He's moving around okay. He's a little sore, I think, but all the tests were negative, and he'll continue to get treatment and take it day by day. The Braves avoided a disastrous scenario where their star lefty would have had to miss any amount of time in the postseason. He is expected to pitch game one of a best-of-three wild-card round at Truist next week, which launches an expanded postseason that will transition to a Texas bubble for the remaining rounds. Brian Snicker was asked if Fried would be ready for the start, and he said, quote, "I think so. We'll see going forward, but I think everybody feels that's a realistic possibility," end quote. So we'll see where that goes. In an ideal world, Fried would have logged a heavier workload in his final regular two-season starts, both to try to see if they can snag another position and to get his arm fully ready to go. He's pitched just six innings in two outings since returning from the injured list with a left side muscle spasm in his lumbar spine that forced him to miss the full start. Fried has pitched 11 innings this month and will have pitched one inning in 11 days leading into game number one. So a little Braves baseball there in item number three. All right, let's take a break. We'll come back here in just a moment. We got plenty of football to get to, including Diesel and I looking down the SEC and ACC schedule for the weekend. All that and more coming up on the Rob Brown Show. This is ESPN Upstate.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day.
Oh, and you want the proof?
Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Welcome back. The Rob Brown Show rolls on. This is ESPN Upstate. How do you do, South Carolina? Great to be with you, Robin. Diesel with you on a Friday afternoon. Hope you're having an outstanding day. Let's start taking a look down the collegiate football schedule, shall we? Coming up tonight, Middle Tennessee at UTSA. And then we start on Saturday. Kansas State is taking on Oklahoma at noon. Lincoln Riley, and kind of interesting that Lincoln Riley is in the news. And I wanted to talk about this earlier in the week. I'm glad we got to this point. But Lincoln Riley has been in the news this week because Lincoln Riley has been asking for a major college football rule to be changed. Lincoln Riley has had a couple of players had to miss out based on one rule in college football that he has been trying, he has been pushing the NCAA to change. He said the other day, and this is an article that came out of the Oklahoman the other day. Lincoln Riley, and I'm actually just going to read. I don't ordinarily just straight up read these types of articles, but I will this one because I think it puts some real power into what Lincoln Riley is trying to accomplish here. Lincoln Riley took a deep breath as he searched for the right words, and that still wasn't enough time. It's a good question. I certainly understand the question, the OU football coach said before another long pause to gather his thoughts. Riley had been asked in Tuesday's Zoom press conference whether he or the Sooners have received any word about any delay in the decisions by the NCAA. The question didn't ask directly, but it was implied that it was about the suspicions of wide receiver Trajan Bridges, defensive end Ronnie Perkins, and running back Ramondre Stevenson. The trio will miss their third consecutive game Saturday when the Sooners host Kansas State on Fox. Riley made it clear he understood the question quickly. He generally hasn't said much about his suspicions other than to say he still hoped for a positive resolution with the NCAA. He referred to the rule as archaic in mid-August, though offered nothing further than Tuesday. He went back to that word and expounded much more. It's been a challenging year for the NCAA. There's a lot on their plate right now, Riley said, but this is a big issue. It is. And it's a much bigger issue than these three players, and I think maybe that's part of why the process has been a little bit slower than all of us would like. But you're talking about an archaic rule within the NCAA. You're talking about a world that has really changed on the subject. End quote. That archaic rule is the NCAA's rule regarding marijuana testing. The trio of players tested positive for the substance in an NCAA drug test before the Peach Bowl last season, a source told the Oklahoman. These rules in place mandate a suspension of half a season for one positive test. That suspension would carry them through the first five games of the season in addition to the bowl game that they missed. While there is no mechanism to overturn the suspensions, there was hope the suspensions would be reduced slightly to two games because two games were eliminated from this regular season. The world that changed when the NCAA began its drug testing program in 1986, use of the substance was prohibited in every state, and only a few had moved to decriminalize cannabis. Now, though, the substance remains federally illegal. 11 states have legalized recreational marijuana use, and 33, including Oklahoma, have medical marijuana programs. Last year, the NCAA increased its THC testing threshold, moving to 35 nanograms per millimeter from 15 to trigger a positive result. The NCAA Committee on Competitive Safeguards and Medical Aspects of Sports bumped the threshold up to prevent those who have inhaled the substance secondhand from triggering a positive test. While some schools have adjusted their punishments for marijuana offenses, and many were never as strict as the NCAA to begin with, the NCAA has maintained strict punishment for positive tests. According to Riley said, quote, the unfortunate matter is you could have a first positive test at just about any NCAA school in the country, and you're going to get counseling and you're going to get all the support that you need at so many of these great schools. And right now, studies are showing that's how you win. That's how you beat this. That's how you actually help a player, help a person that has made a mistake. I think a lot of schools have figured it out. there have been some really positive trends, and I think developments there. The fact that if you have the same test from the NCAA, you miss six games, and the disparity between that, it's not right. I am confident that it's going to get fixed or head to a more appropriate spot. Riley said even if a rule change isn't implemented in time to benefit those three, and it almost surely won't be, then it needs to be changed. He said, quote, it is really severe, especially when only a couple of teams in the country a year get tested. But they made a mistake, and they're living with the consequences right now, and hopefully something gets changed before that. If not, hopefully it'll get changed for all the rest of the players and for the good of the game. Riley said the Sooners himself have, quote, come to terms with the suspensions, end quote. So Lincoln Riley is pushing hard, hard to try to get the has pushed hard to try to get the marijuana punishment for a positive test changed. And basically is saying, look, it has been proven that if you want to help people get past this, then the solution is to help them get past it, not to punish them for it, right? That's the biggest thing that they need to be concerned with. And that is obviously not the way that it has worked, at least according to what the NBA the NCAA is looking forward to. The NCAA has always taken a bring down the punishment approach, has very rarely taken a let's get some help. Let's get these guys talking to people. Let's find out why this all happened. Though I suspect that in the near future, the NCAA will likely take the same approach that the NFL has done in recent times, which is, long story short, to basically push for marijuana testing to not be a thing anymore at all. You know what? It's legal in a number of states. You are medicinally cleared in so many more. And so, therefore, the NCAA is not even going to test for it. I suspect the NCAA will follow the NFL's path at some point down that road, and all of this will end up going away. But in the meantime, yeah, I mean, that's a lot of games in a season, especially in a season with only a handful of games in the Big 12, and in a season where Oklahoma is largely considered one of only a few teams that are going to be able to break in to the NCAA playoffs at the end of the year. To lose three very important, very critical, very key players over a minimal marijuana charge is something that, of course, Lincoln Riley is going to have a problem with.
So, look, if you want to smoke, smoke. I don't care. But I wonder if Lincoln Riley's doing this because he wants his star players back, or if he just really feels strongly that marijuana shouldn't be punishable in the NCAA.
Yeah,
I'm not buying it. I'm not buying that Lincoln Riley is, you know, he's a fan of Cheech and Chong and he just thinks that weed should be legal. He's trying to get his star players back. He's trying to reduce the punishment of his star players.
Oh, sure.
I mean, I hope that Lincoln Riley doesn't think that we're all dumb enough to not see that, because clearly that's what's going on. Again, I don't think it should be tested for in the NCAA. That's not my point. And, you know, if we want to have a real conversation about it, we can talk about why some players choose to smoke rather than take some pretty harsh and addictive painkillers. Because, again, these athletes, both pro and college, are putting their bodies through a tremendous amount of stress. And a lot of them, I'm sure, would rather, you know, go light up a bowl than be on some pill that's going to have them drooling in the corner.
Yeah. And again, I mean, to me, I'm old school in the fashion of, hey, man, they're adults. If they want to smoke, why is it my job to regulate what they put into their body, right? That's on you. You live your best life. Go bananas. Do what you want to do. Be intelligent about it. Be smart about it. But no, I think you're spot on. I think Lincoln Riley is absolutely doing what he can do to diminish this suspension. He's not necessarily uber concerned about the law. Although I think if you ask most coaches, not all, but I think most coaches would absolutely be in favor of getting rid of the rule itself.
Because they know their players are already doing it.
Bingo. To protect this from happening again in the future. That's 100% it. That's the only reason why. So, but yeah, no, I think Lincoln Riley is absolutely here, just trying to get the guy's suspension lifted, because he has got a playoff caliber team this year. And the more of those types of cats you take away from him, the less likely it is that he is going to end up being in said playoffs. So, you know, we'll see if this changes anything. I mean, when you get a guy the caliber of Lincoln Riley, when you get a guy with the sway of Lincoln Riley going out there and talking about the talking about this rule and pushing to get this rule changed, then all of a sudden the NCAA, little more reason to listen. 844-GSP-ESPN, 844-477-3776. Quick break. When we come back here in just a minute, we start running up and down the NCAA schedule for the weekend, making picks, predictions, previews, and the like. We got high school football coming up for you in the second hour of the show. A little NASCAR in the third. We're going to be busy on the Rob Brown Show. This is ESPN Upstate. Welcome back. The Rob Brown Show rolls on. This is ESPN Upstate. Thank you for joining us here, South Carolina, as we roll through hour number one of the broadcast. We are, of course, taking a look at some of the games coming up this weekend in college football. The SEC is, of course, getting underway now, and we'll have our first game taking place in the SEC this weekend at noon when the Gators of Old Florida travel down to the Grove, head to Oxford, Mississippi to take on Ole Miss. And this one is this one should be all Gators from the beginning. That line came out at Florida being favored by 13 points on the road. So that is a full touchdown and some change when you factor in the home points for Mississippi. They're getting 3 for being at home. So you're talking about Florida being a full 2 touchdowns better than the Ole Miss running Rebels down there. I'm excited about seeing the Florida Gators this year because I don't know what Dan Mullen's bringing to the table. I think that this is a team that a lot of people are very high on. If I recall correctly, I think both Mark Ryan and Lonzo picked Florida to be in the college football playoffs this year. And Diesel, I don't know about you, man. That's a bridge too far for me to be putting Florida in the playoffs already. I mean, Dan Mullen's squad has been trending upwards, but in the playoffs this year? Come on, man.
Yeah, that's a smidge aggressive.
Yeah, I mean, does that say more about Florida, or does that say more about college football with Florida being picked by so many people in the playoffs? I don't know.
It's hard, man. Like, we all know that this season has got so many question marks in it. And I don't know how you can predict and put anybody in the playoff right now. I mean, I understand that's pundits' jobs is to, you know, pontificate and make this stuff up off the top of their head, but I mean, like, I don't know how you do it. You don't do it with any confidence whatsoever.
Yeah, I mean, look, I'm looking at the 2019 Gators. Florida averaged 300 passing yards and 129 rushing yards last year, which is kind of interesting. So back to 2018, which is before Mullen really got his offense started rolling there down in the Ville, down in Gainesville. In 2018, the Gators averaged 213 passing yards and 213 rushing yards. I mean, they were exactly a 50-50 split. Last year, way different. Florida averaged 300-plus passing yards and 129 rushing yards. Mullen and the Gators are going to try to get back closer to 50-50 this year. Will they be able to accomplish that? No idea. You've got big play senior wideouts, Trevin Grimes, Kadarius Toney, running the foundation at that spot. Of course, you've got Mississippi State transfer Stuart Reese, who was a 34-game starter in Starkville, slated to join the team this fall. Although, obviously, with the cancellation of spring practices, you know, will they be able to find that balance? I don't know. But, look, I like this Gator team. I don't know that I like them at number five overall. I don't know that I like them as a playoff team, but I think they got a chance to jump up and surprise some people. One game that I'm really excited about right off the get in the SEC, mainly because we're going to get to see, you know, I've been leaning back and forth about whether this team was going to be legitimate or not, but Auburn and Kentucky are going to be going at noon. This one is going to be Auburn and Kentucky is going to be in Jordan-Hare Stadium down there in the fields at Opelika, Alabama. Kentucky, number 23 in the country on the road, is only a 7.5-point dog down there at Auburn. Of course, this is a year that Gus Malzahn has either got to get it or quit it, man. He is on the short list. I don't think that this is his final season if things don't go well, but I think that it would be the final season before the final season if things don't go well. I would keep an eye on this game at noon with Kentucky traveling down to Auburn. Coach Stoops in this Wildcat team the last couple of years has kind of been looking to turn a corner, a little bit. And I think there's a potential for them to jump up and surprise a couple of teams this year. Why not get one off the go and go down to Auburn and shock Gus Malzahn? Listen, the Tigers this year are ripe for the picking, man. This is an Auburn team that I think has higher expectations than they ought to coming into this season. I'm sorry to my man Keegan. I know this is going to upset him. But Diesel, I'm looking at Kentucky with an eyebrow raised. I think that Stoops has got that team pointed in the right direction. I'm looking at that noon game between Kentucky and Auburn as a, whoa, hold on a minute. That might not be as clear-cut as we all think it is on paper before we get started. Like Kentucky at Auburn to potentially cover that 7.5. UCF is at ECU. Georgia Southern is at number 19, Louisiana. Louisville taking on Pittsburgh, a pair of teams that I expected more out of last week with the Cardinals and the Panthers, and neither one of those teams was really capable of really being in that game, in their respective games last week. That's why both of them have fallen down into the 20s. We'll keep an eye on that one. That one's going to be on the ACC net. Georgia Tech is at Syracuse, also at noon. Campbell at Appalachian State on the ESPN Plus at noon. Diesel, all the breakdown of Appalachian State we need. Go ahead.
Looked like crap last week. Should handle Campbell pretty easily.
That's solid analysis. You did look like crap last week, and you should handle Campbell easily.
Mm-hmm.
Well done. Well done. You're good at this. You should try joining a sports talk show one day. No joke, no nothing. All right, Diesel, we got you. Florida National is at Liberty. Iowa State at TCU. Tulane at Southern Miss. Mississippi State at LSU. You know, Mark Ryan's got a team that he's very high on in the Florida Gators and a team that he's very low on with the LSU Tiger Men, the defending national championships. Of course, they will do it without Joe Burrow, without Jamar Chase, their best receiver, who has opted out to prepare for the NFL. They got a couple of other players who have opted out as well. Look, this LSU team is not going to be in the college football playoffs this year. All right? Clemson fans, you won't have to relive those nightmares. LSU is not making it back. But I would keep an eye out on this team because I got to say, under Ed Orgeron, it's very, very, very rare that you see a team that gels as well as Ed Orgeron has teams gel under him. And while they have lost a lot of talent, at the end of the day, it's nice to have a lot of heart. It's better to have a lot of talent. While it's nice to have a lot of the talent out there, this LSU team is going to gel exceptionally well, I think. And I would keep an eye on them as they get set to go up against Mississippi State this weekend. Quick break. We'll come back. We'll finish up the college football schedule when we return here in just a minute from right now. In the next hour, we got some NFL talk to jump into. We'll talk some high school football as well. All that and more coming up on the Rob Brown Show. Rob Diesel, you, this is ESPN Upstate. Welcome back. The Rob Brown Show rolls on. This is ESPN Upstate. I am Rob Brown. My man Diesel back in the network studio pushing the button, switching the switches. Great to be with you as we head through our college football schedule this weekend. We worked our way through the early slate of games. Texas at Texas Tech. Army is at Cincinnati. That one could be kind of interesting. West Virginia taking on Oklahoma State. Watch out for the Mountaineers in this one, though they have not looked exceptionally great. Oklahoma State has had a couple of slow starts, and they have not gone. They have not had the greatest starts, and now they go up against a West Virginia team that every now and then has the possibility, has the capability of really getting going right off the bat. And if they do, this could be an upset win for the Mountaineers. I'm not ready to jump all over it yet. It is in Boone Pickens down in Oklahoma. So there is a question mark about it, but I wouldn't knock it off as a definite L for the Ears just yet. UTEP's at ULM Monroe. Georgia is at Arkansas. That one's at 4 o'clock on the SEC Network. Look, Georgia should make easy work of Arkansas, all right? Georgia should make easy work of Arkansas. Should be a quick one. Should be over with very, very quickly. This Georgia team's going to be good, man. The East is Georgia versus Florida. I think we all know that. We are going to get our first look at those two teams this weekend. And I think how these two teams, both of these two teams are playing an outmatched opponent. Okay, Ole Miss is not matched up with Florida yet. Of course, they've got a new coach coming in. They've got Lane Kiffin coming in, installing that new offense, trying to get that team all together. So you've got Ole Miss. Then you've got Arkansas trying to get their whole thing together, and Georgia coming to town. Georgia's going to be something this year, no doubt about it. Both of these teams, Florida and Georgia, have their opponents on the ropes, have their teams outmatched, and should be big dubs. Duke's at Virginia at 4 o'clock, Texas State at Boston College at 6, at 7 o'clock, Alabama is at Missouri in what I think is going to be a bloodbath. I don't know what the line on that game is. I suspect it's probably going to be Alabama by, let's look it up. I'm going to say Alabama by about 35 right off the bat. Georgia is a, by the way, for those of you keeping track in the Rob Brown Show home game, Georgia is a 28-point favorite over Arkansas in that game. Alabama is a 28-point favorite over Missouri in that game. So lots of blowout lines in the Southeastern Conference as we head into week one of SEC play. Vanderbilt is at Texas A&M in this weekend's matchup in the Southeastern Conference. Will be interesting to watch A&M this year, as a lot of people have them considered as a contender. I am not one of those people. The big question mark, of course, is going to be about Jimbo Fisher and his Aggies. I am curious about Jimbo Fisher. Derek Mason and his Vanderbilt Commodores, there is a big question mark about whether he is the guy there or not, but Jimbo Fisher is kind of in the same boat. A lot of Aggies right now are looking at Texas A&M and wondering if Jimbo Fisher was the right guy for the job to give $75 million to. Like I said yesterday, I don't think there's a more entitled group in college football. I don't know why it is they feel this way. Texas A&M fans just believe. They just believe that they should be in the national championship. Oh, we got all this money and we got all these boosters. We should be in the national championship hunt. They just believe they should be there, which is hilarious coming out of the SEC West. And they wonder why Jimbo Fisher doesn't have them in a national championship game as of now. We'll see if they make a move. But this is Jimbo Fisher's got to jump out to a good start. FSU is at Miami. I told y'all on Monday when that line dropped. That line dropped at -9.5. I told you that I thought that line would be moving in Miami's favor. It is now to 11.5. I'm actually shocked it's only at 11.5. I think it may. Late money might come in and push that to a full touchdown, because here's the thing. Miami's going to dog walk Florida State, all right? FSU wants this game. This one is your college game day game. Game day is going to be down at Coral Gables this week. Florida State's going to have the eyes of the nation on them, and they're not ready. Mike Norvell is out. He's got the Rona, so he will not be coaching this team. They'll be moving to an assistant coach taking over. FSU is not ready for this Miami team that's number 12 in the country and is playing good football. Miami's going to run FSU off the field. Florida State is going to go home with their feelings hurt in this one. Tennessee is at South Carolina. Diesel, are you going to make a pick on Tennessee, South Carolina, this one being played right here in the great Palmetto State?
Since it's impossible for both teams to score nothing, I'm going to say it's no more than a seven-point game in either direction. I can't make a pick. I don't have faith in either team.
Line is Tennessee favored by a field goal, by 3.5. We'll make that pick official when we come back in just a minute. Tennessee, South Carolina will go on the record. On the flip side, the Rob Brown Show's on your radio. This is ESPN Upstate.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.